So, what does that leave us? As an example, somebody asked me a shaila whether they can just lock up a room on Pesach instead of having to do bedika and check all the toys and check all the closets. Can they just sell the chametz and rent out the room to a guy? The answer to that question is yes, they can. A halacha allows someone to rent out a room and to sell all the chametz.
Oh.
To sell all the chametz. This year, why would we want to limit the amount of rooms that we have available to us during Pesach? Better do clean the room, and if you have closets that have things you don't want to check, they have closets that have food, then you could just sell the place of the closet. You don't have to sell the whole room. Moreover, when we're discussing toys, we're discussing games, board games, things we're going to have to be using this year, things that because we're inside, we're going to be needing to have more of them than usual. We're going to need them more than usual. What do we do about these things? Games, toys. We don't have to kasher the toys. We don't have to kasher the games. We don't have to scrub the Tinker toys. We don't have to scrub the Lego. What is it that we do have to do? We have to check it at the night of the Bedika, which means that we have to check to make sure that there are no cookies, there are no halves of cookies. We have to make sure that when the children play with it last, they didn't leave a sandwich inside. That's really the ikar chiv to be done on Leil HaBdika and can be done from now, as we'll get to momentarily. But you don't have to sit on the floor with baby wipes or with a towel and scrubbing each and every toy. That shouldn't be done this year and no other year, but Kol Shekein this year. And if you're worried about it, if there are things in your closet that give you a headache when you think about having to clean them, just sell much. Whatever's in there. Don't give up much. All of your room. Don't give up all of your space that you have in your house. Now, regarding Mechiras Chametz, regarding that which we do rent out closets, we do rent out space. Any place in your house that you want to rent out to a guy, any cabinet, and not check it, you can certainly do that. All the places you're storing the chametz kelim, all the places you're storing the non-kosher Pesach food, all those places, you just close them for Pesach and lock them up somehow. Either tie them shut or lock them shut, tape them shut. Make sure that you don't, by accident, based on your regular way of doing things throughout the year, you won't come to open it by mistake in the middle of the year. Make sure that you taped it or tied it shut, that when you try to pull it by mistake, you'll remember. I actually had this happen to me once. Once I was preparing coffee on Pesach, and I was going to take out a spoon like I usually do for sugar in order to stir the coffee, and I pulled at the door, and I felt that little tug. It reminded me. That's not the drawer that we take from. We have to take from the Pesach Dekalim. These are obvious things. Just remember to do them. You don't necessarily have to wipe and scrub all these areas, all the different drawers, all the different cabinets, all those places that you're storing things that are not kosher at Pesach. Just tie them up. Better rent out those places to a goy. But even if you didn't, you're okay. The Mechiras Chametz that everybody does will take care of any chametz that's in these places. If we're dealing with board games, if we're dealing with toys, you don't have to scrub them, like I said. You just have to check them. You open up the box, there's nothing in there, close, and you're done. That's true for all toys. For those things that you want to use on the same table that you're eating, you might want to be a little more careful and just look it over just so there shouldn't be any crumbs, because once again, if it falls on the table and it's chas v'shalom a piece of chametz, you don't want to eat it together. As long as you're not playing with it on the table that you're eating, as long as even if you do it on that table, but you change the plastic tablecloth in the meantime, you're okay. Don't scrub all the things in your house. We don't kosher our house. We kosher the kitchen. Okay. Regarding where do I keep food that's not kosher Pesach? You can keep it in cabinets and lock it up. You can keep it in a freezer that you're not using for Pesach, and tape it shut, lock it shut, make sure you don't use it. What about using the refrigerator and the freezer that I'm going to be using for Pesach, and I want to store the non-kosher Pesach items there as well? You can't keep non-kosher Pesach items in the places that you're using on Shabbos, even if you sold them to a goy. So if they are indeed chametz, if they are indeed the suffix chametz, then you can't keep them in the fridge, you can't keep them in the freezer. They need to be kept in the freezer. You have to ask your rav what to do with them. In the situation that, what is it? It's not chametz, it's kidneys, it's something that I don't like to eat, it's something that was around, but it's not really chametz, and you're selling it just to calm your nerves, just out of a chashash rachok that maybe it's chametz. Those things, you want to keep them in your fridge or freezer, that's okay. Just make sure that you tape it up and make it clear that this is something we don't use on Pesach. Nobody will come to Chas V'Shalom, use those things on Pesach. And I want to mention another thing as well. It's very common that women, after they've kashered their refrigerator for Pesach, they usually do that several days before the Yontav of Pesach comes in. And together with that, it usually comes that there are a few items that we still want to use and it's still chametz and we still keep them in the fridge until Pesach I'm allowed to. As long as I'm careful, I can keep it in the fridge. I just want to remind everybody, but that bag that you're using and you're allowed to use and you're allowed to keep it if you're careful in the Pesach Dik fridge until Pesach. Before Pesach, make a mental note to think, did I remove that bag from the fridge? Am I sure that it's not there? I don't want to come into a situation where I forgot about it, and it's the middle of Pesach, and I have these things that are still there. They might even be chametz gomer for that matter, because I didn't plan on selling it. I planned on eating it, but I forgot about it. Make sure you check to make sure the night before Pesach, that bag that I kept in the fridge, I'm getting rid of. Okay. There are those that don't sell chametz gomer. Why don't they sell chametz gomer? Selling, meikra din, you're allowed to sell all forms of chametz. The whole reason why the minig of selling chametz was established was because we wouldn't have to throw out the chametz. There wouldn't be a law. Nevertheless, there are people that are cautious. They don't sell chametz because
It's Mary of Knowles, okay? I'm going to mute everyone again and try to say it again. I can mute everyone.
Okay.
We lose you, so I need to try again because it's
okay.
Such background noise.
Hello?
Now, Rob, I'm sorry, I had to unmute everybody for you to get in. We haven't been hearing you.
Put in here? Okay. Should I continue trying?
Okay, I'm going to mute everyone again and the dial *6, and let's try again. I'm sorry, everybody. Okay. Okay.
But anyhow, so everything that's real hummus can't be obviously put in the same places. You have to sell it. It's coming as
no, it's just not
real hummus. But it's been used during the year, whatever, you know, like mayonnaise or something. That doesn't.
Midsummer.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you. I lost you for a long time.
You couldn't hear?
Nope.
Yeah, well, no, I've unmuted everybody, so we're just going to hear everyone's noise. Could everyone who's not the Rav please put the phone on mute so we can only listen to the Rav and not to everyone else's background noise? And then everybody, this will be more pleasant for everyone. Okay, Rav,
okay.
Go ahead.
That's better. Okay, once again, very in short, chametz gomer, you're allowed to sell chametz gomer for Pesach if you have a minig not to do it, some are machmir not to do it, because they don't want to rely on the mechira, they were chidushim, especially the way the mechira is done today, that so many people do it all together. There's different reasons for it. What's considered chametz gomer? Anything baked, but flour, bulgur, barley, these things are not considered chametz gomer because they haven't been mixed with water. They're not considered Pesach dik because usually the process of cleaning these grains has a chashash chametz, usually cleaned with a mist, which create a chashash chametz, but it's not chametz gomer, so therefore those that don't sell chametz gomer can sell these things as well. Okay. Another note regarding Bedikas Chametz is important to know. Yes, Bedikas Chametz takes place the night before Pesach. But the night before Pesach, sometimes you can't do the Bedika all in one night. Can I do a little bit before? I can do Bedikas Chametz before if I do it at night, either by electric light or a flashlight, or in the daytime if I have sunlight coming through a window. Then I can also do that in order to make it easier the night before Pesach, when I do the Bedikas Chametz. Another important part of the Bedikas Chametz, in order to do things properly, I'm sure everybody knows, to check if everything is mesudar, if everything is clean, if everything's all tidy and nice, it's much easier to do the Bedika. There's a din that the Ramah mentions in Shulchan Aruch to make sure that the house is tidy before you do the Bedika in order so that the Bedika will be done properly. It is kedai to make sure that the house is neat and tidy before the bedika is done in order so it can be done properly. But once again, you can do different parts of the bedika even beforehand in order to make it easier. Okay, some kashering notes. Those people that kasher the cooktop, how can we kasher the grates on top of the cooktop if we're not going to go out to someplace to do it this year? You can have the grate, you can kasher the grates simply by putting them in the oven, even if it's not a self-cleaning oven, turning the oven on to the highest temperature, and it depends which temperature you leave it on. If you leave it on 550 degrees Fahrenheit, then you can leave it on for an hour. If you have 375 degrees Fahrenheit, you can leave it in for 2 hours. The reason for that is you need to only do libun kal, and Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, and based on his experimentation, said that if you've done this, you've accomplished libun kal with the grates. So the grates are taken care of after you've done that. The only thing you need to do with the cooktop after that, scrub it down, make sure that it's covered with thick aluminum foil, and most importantly, make sure that every hole that exists on the cooktop for gas to come up and the like, there's a hole in the foil as well. You don't want gas to be trapped. It could cause some shalom bia sakana, and your cooktop won't work right. But if you make sure that you left those proper holes, you kosher the grates that way, you don't have to go out of your house to do that at all. Countertops. You don't need to pour hot water on your countertops. Scrub your countertops well, and then cover them with any type of covering that you like, and you're done. You don't have to use hot water. If you want to kosher, you want to do hagala at home with small utensils, it's relatively easy to do it at home. I will tell you the exact process how it's done. If you want a kasher, forks, knives, spoons, the kiddush cup, all of these small items can fit in a kumkum. It can fit in a hot water heater, an electric hot water heater. what you do is, first they have to be scrubbed. And scrubbed means absolutely cleaned. If you're lamashal kashering a fork, you have to clean and scrub in between the tines to make sure there's no longer any food residue. Because kashering doesn't get rid of food residue, it only gets rid of taste that is absorbed in these kalim. Once you've cleaned them, you let them sit for 24 hours.
But on your kiddush cup, he's showing you how you can tell you how you can kasher in a kumkum.
Right. You can kasher the kiddush cup in a kumkum. All you do is you lift open the top of the kumkum, you turn it on. You can use the Pesach Dik kumkum in order to do this once you've let them sit for 24 hours and they've been cleaned. Then you turn on the button for the hot water to bubble up. Make sure that you leave the top open so that when it bubbles, it won't automatically turn off like it usually does. You want it to bubble when you kasher the kalim. If these kalim are made of metal, they can be kashered. You put them in, make sure all of the kli has been inside the hot water at least once. It doesn't have to be at the same time. I can put the top part in first, rinse it off with cold water, then put in the bottom part, and then rinse it off with cold water, and then you can kasher all the kalim in your house that way that are small enough to fit into the kumkum. You're going to need something like pliers and the like in order to pull it out of the hot water or to hold it in the hot water. If you hold it, as an example, with pliers in the hot water, you have to make sure that that you put it in a second time because the place that the pliers were attached to it, it was applying pressure, you have to put it in a different place. That's a way to do all of the small kalim in your house. You want to kasher the big kalim in your house? That's also possible that you need a big pot of water. It's a much bigger endeavor. And the biggest pot in your house, which obviously you can't put into another pot, there are ways to do it al-pi chazal in your house. Not necessarily suggested. If it's important, ask your rav how to kasher these things. Now, the freezers and the fridge, they have to be scrubbed down completely. The freezer has to be defrosted. If frost, ice has accumulated, there could be crumbs. There's likely to be crumbs in there, and they have to be gotten rid of. So you have to defrost your freezer. You can unplug it and let it defrost itself. It will take several hours for it to get all the ice to melt. I suggest not waiting that long because it can be a big mess. A way to do it is if you have a blow dryer, you blow it with heat with a blow dryer in order to melt the ice more quickly, and that shouldn't take really more than an hour until everything comes out. Then you scrub it down, and then it's Pesach Day. I'll just tell you that if you're using a hair dryer on the warm setting, make sure you keep it a little bit far away from the ice, because if a drop of water comes into the hair dryer, it won't work, at least for the immediate future. Okay, Sreifas Chometz. Are we going to be able to do Sreifas Chometz this year outside of our houses? I don't know. I don't know what's going to be. Rav Hillel Zaks, every year, he held that the din was you had to do Sreifas Chometz in your house, and he would always do Sreifas Chometz in his house. He came into his house Erev Pesach, the house was full with smoke. I don't suggest doing it that way, because we don't want our houses full with smoke on Erev Pesach. How can we do it in our own property? So, one way to do it is, if you have a barbecue grill, you can put all the chametz in foil, put it on the barbecue grill, and turn on the barbecue grill, covered for a substantial amount of time, until it burns. In that case, everything is outdoors, nobody has a barbecue grill indoors, and then, afterwards, I suggest taking it out of there and throwing it away. That's a way to do it inside of our houses. Do not make a bonfire, not in your ginah, not in your merpeset. Don't cause fire hazards. Using a barbecue is relatively safe. They're used to be made with fire. But don't make the way we usually do things outside, don't do that inside. I just want to remind everybody, the amount of chametz that needs to be burned is only a kizayis. You don't have to burn all the chametz in your house. All the rest of the chametz you find, you can throw it away. And if you don't have any eitzah to burn chametz, it's not. What you do is you take the chametz and you throw it away, and you won't burn it this year. But I think you'll be having the ability to do it the way I said. Okay. A few other things. Towels, tablecloths. What do we do with those for Pesach? Towels, you put them through a hot load, a hot water load in the washing machine with soap. As long as the towels don't have any stains on them, then all the towels will be kosher to Pesach. if somebody wants to buy new towels for Pesach, it's a very nice thing, but you don't have to. As long as you launder them with cold water and detergent, it's kosher l'Pesach. Kol shekein, the tablecloth, you do not have to buy new tablecloths for Shabbos, for Pesach. The same thing with the tablecloths. You put them in a hot load with detergent, all the tablecloths are kosher l'Pesach. Now you're going to say, I don't know, I put food on my table, I'm nervous about it. First of all, don't be nervous, because Halacha says you don't have to be nervous. Number two, keep in mind, most of us cover the tablecloths with a special plastic tablecloth. So any of the worries that you have with the tablecloth are presumably not going to be existent, first of all, because you kashered it, and because you covered it. You don't need to buy new tablecloths for Yontif. The plata. If somebody wants to use their chametzik plata for Pesach, they should clean it well using a caustic cleaner such as St. Moritz, Easy Off. And after they've cleaned it, they don't have to pour hot water on it. They don't have to turn it on. They should simply cover it with foil, and then you could use that plata for Yontif. You can use it for Pesach. You don't have to have any problems with it after that. Okay. Kitnius. Somebody had mentioned difficulty that they have. There are certain forms of olive oil, which are usually available here in Eretz Yisrael, that at least have not hit the shelves as of yet. Somebody mentioned the difficulty of oil this year. Why does this difficulty occur? For most people, it doesn't occur. They use what's called Shemen Dekalim, if they like that. They can use Shemen Egozim. There are different forms of olive oil. For certain people, this doesn't work. Why? Shemen Egozim, there are certain children that have nut allergies. It's not going to be good. The other olive oils, they don't taste so good. It doesn't work so good. The same thing with the Shemen Dekalim. Someone asked if they can use rapeseed oil. Rapeseed oil, which is otherwise known as Shemen Canola in this country, should not be used, and I will explain why. Shemen Canola, the reason why in America many use cottonseed oil. The reason why cottonseed oil, there are many poskim that were lenient, is because you can't eat cottonseed. You can only use it for their oil. And one would assume that the same thing is true regarding rapeseed. Why should we differentiate between the two? The answer is the following. Rapeseed has a chashash that there are wheat kernels mixed in with the rapeseed. That's when they're harvested. This is something that's mentioned in the Rav of Tshuva in an article that he wrote in 2006. He mentions that it was very common that there would be wheat kernels mixed in with the rapeseed to the extent that they wouldn't even be batel, and therefore there were kashrus organizations that wouldn't give rapeseed oil a hechsher for Pesach, even for those people that eat kitnius, because they were choshish because of wheat. For those that are machmir for kitnius, for those that have a minig of Ashkenaz, not to eat kitnius on Pesach, one of the reasons why this minig developed is because of seeds it was common that wheat would get mixed into them. So there's a reason to be machmir for rapeseed oil because of that, much more than cottonseed oil. The Avgenezer offered rapeseed oil behedya. The OU lists rapeseed as one of the things that are kidneyous. I don't think anybody should go into rapeseed oil this year just because they're having difficulty with oil. They should make do with some of the other oils, and I'm told that it could be that all the oils that you're usually familiar with are going to be available this year on Pesach as well. Okay. Another nekuda, especially for this year. There's the tkufa, I think everybody knows, before Pesach. We'll call it the tkufas beinayim. What's the tkufas beinayim? After you've kashered the kitchen, when you're kashering the kitchen, rather, in the process, there's the process where the kitchen is not yet Pesach dik, but you can't use it for chametz either, because it's in the middle. It's in the middle stage. I haven't yet made it Pesach dik, but it's not chametz dik anymore. That's a very difficult time in the house, usually, before Pesach. I'm sure as everybody knows. Why? Because we're not eating Pesach dik yet. We're not eating chametz dik. Where am I eating? How am I heating up food? How am I going to be cooking things? So, in other years, that's the time we say, okay, take the kids out here and there, buy pizza, feed them falafel, take them to the park, do something else. That's something that's not going to be feasible this year. So, when you're planning what we call turning over, making your kitchen Pesach dik, although there's going to be that stage, and you might not be able to make it less than in any other year because things take time, but try to have presence of mind that these are things that I'm going to try to do less this year because everybody has to be home, and it's going to be a very trying time, that interim stage when the kitchen is not yet Pesach Dik, but it can't be used for chametz either anymore. Okay. Now, someone asked, what about cleaning towels for Pesach this year? Everybody wants to make sure that they're washing their hands and cleaning themselves, and they're worried about that the towels are not going to be sterile enough, or that they're going to be washing themselves more often and towels are going to get dirtier. Are we going to be allowed to wash towels on Chol HaMoed? So the answer to that question is that you try to make sure that there's enough towels. You don't have to invest in having a lot of towels, but try to make sure that there's enough. If there is not enough, then you can rely on those that say that I can wash the hand towels and dish towels, since they're things that are used commonly and you don't leave them for the week. They do get dirty on a regular basis, so therefore one would be allowed to launder hand towels on Yontif if they run out of them. Okay. regarding the other utensils we have in the house. What if we have pots and pans that are new, but we haven't toiveled them. So I don't know if it's going to be possible to toivel them. I certainly hope so. We're not allowed to use new kalim that were purchased from a non-Jew. We're not allowed to use them before they did tefillas kalim. What do I do if, and it's my first year making Pesach, let's say, and I only have new kalim and they didn't let me toivel them. What am I going to do? I can't use them without toiveling them, but I need these kalim. What am I supposed to do? So the Shulchan Aruch actually addresses such a scenario, and the Shulchan Aruch says that there is an option of giving it to a goy, similar to the process of Mechiras Chametz, and the goy owns it for the interim period where I can't do Tvilas Kalim. And then, when I'm able to do Tvilas Kalim, I ask the goy to give it back to me. And then once I've reacquired it from a goy, then I do tefillas kalim bebracha kedasu kedin. So if you have somebody that you know, you have help, a Filipini, or somebody that is non-Jewish and is willing to do this for you, it is an eitza for those kalim. Or if you have somebody that's a neighbor that could do this for you, it's an eitza for those kalim. And then after Pesach, it's okay. And you're allowed to do this mikra din when you don't have, in other words, you're supposed to do tefillas kalim if you have the option, but if you can't and you have the interim period where you're not going to be able to do tefillas kalim, this is the option that's in front of you. I will just mention one important fact, and that is generally when you buy new kalim, we all know you have to take off the stickers, you have to make sure there are no chatzitzas in order for the tefillah to be good. If I'm going to be using these kalim, obviously, I have to make sure that they're absolutely clean after Yontif when I do the Tfilas Kalim, when I repurchase it, reacquire it from the goy. I can't just do Tfilas Kalim to a dirty kli. And then once again, I have to clean them to the best of my ability. Once there's nothing on it that I'm makvid on, then I can do Tfilas Kalim after Yontif. If I don't have this option of a non-Jew, meaning I have no non-Jew that either I trust or that I can give it to in order to have these kalim. So once again, you should try to do tefillas kalim if you can. But if you don't have this option, there is a third option. But it's a third option, b'shas adchak, which very likely somebody might be in this year. And that is, you're mafkir the kli. You don't necessarily have to give it to a non-Jew. You're mafkir the kli for the interim period. And then afterwards, when you're able to do tefillas kalim, you reacquire the kli. And then you do tefillas kalim on the kli. That's what you're going to do if you run into problems with tefillas kalim this year. Okay. What about those of us that have self-cleaning ovens, convection ovens? How are we going to be koshering those if we're going to be using them? If we have self-clean, So the haskama of Rov Poiskim is that self-clean is good enough to kasher an oven for Pesach. Self-clean is considered libun chomor for the interior of the oven, even though the interior of the oven is usually has in it a material which can't be kashered with standard libun. But here it's considered achras kivshonos, and therefore even the enamel which is used inside of a stove can be kashered with a self-clean. Turn a self-clean for a full cycle, and you're done. This should not be confused with a continuous clean oven. And when I say self-clean, I've seen recently new toaster ovens that claim to be self-clean, and they're definitely not the self-clean that I'm referring to right now. Self-clean reaches approximately 900 degrees Fahrenheit. It's called the pyrolytic oven. Those can be kashered by doing that. Some cover the inside of the door, and it should definitely be cleaned from crumbs, especially around the gasket beforehand. After you've done that, it's kosher lePesach. If you don't have a pyrolytic oven, you don't have a self-cleaning oven, so what do I do? Some people, they buy new ovens for that reason. They buy toaster ovens. They use toaster ovens for Pesach. What if I don't like to use a toaster oven? I can't afford a toaster oven, or this year it might very well be that I can't even get my hands on a toaster oven. What am I going to be doing with the oven for Pesach? So there's the racks, and there's the interior of the oven. The racks can be kosher the same way you said about the grates. You clean them, you put them in the oven for either an hour or two, depending on what temperature it is, and you've taken care of the racks, provided you don't put food directly on the racks. The only thing you're putting on the racks is pans, pots, disposable pans, foil, but I don't put food directly on the racks. That's that part. The rest of the oven, rely on the shitas hamakivos that say that if I turn on the oven for 2 hours, even though it's made out of enamel, it's not good enough. In that situation, I would say for those that can do it, and not everybody can, that they should only use the oven for food which is covered inside the oven. If you can't, nevertheless, you have what to rely on, nonetheless, for the interior of the oven, even if it's not self-clean. If you have a convection oven, for those of you that don't understand what it is, it creates an even heat throughout the oven with a fan that's recessed from the interior of the oven. This fan can get very dirty. And there are actually two types of convection ovens. One of them that has a heating element in the same area as the fan, and one of them that has just simply a fan without a heating element in the place of the fan. It's a very big difference in terms of how we use them for Pesach. If the fan doesn't have a heating element in the same area, then you should cover up the area of the convection, and then you don't have any worries of anything coming out, and make sure not to use the convection. If the heating element is in the place of the fan, then it should kosher the fan, so therefore it won't cause any problems. And in that situation, dafka don't cover up the holes of the fan, because it could cause problems to the oven and causes problems to the way the function of the oven works. That's what we have for the convection oven. What else do we have in the kitchen we have to take care of? The sinks. There are different parts of the sink. One doesn't need to buy a special filter for the spout of the sink. They can just use a sink regular. They have to clean also the handles of the sink, the entire spout of the sink, and the basin of the sink. We're going to discuss putting in sink inserts, because I think that's the best option for everybody. Certain people, if they have porcelain china sinks, that's the only option that you have, because porcelain and china cannot be kashered for Pesach. You have sink inserts. Sink inserts can be bought in any place that sells things for Pesach. Make sure that it's something that fits, and they usually are a little bit raised above the surface area of the basin of the sink to make sure that you don't run into any problems. You can use hot water, and it won't cause things to come up from the sink to the special sink insert. Make sure when you use these sink inserts to also use the filter that's used on the bottom to plug up the drain, because otherwise you're going to run into problems. Things might make it back up from your sink inside. You don't want that to happen on Pesach. Please use sink inserts. I'm not saying there is a way to kosher sinks that are made, if the basin is made of metal. I don't want to get into how that's done right now, but as a general practice, sink inserts are the easiest and the best way to go. I know that most women don't like it because it doesn't give them a lot of room in their sink, and it's not as nice looking. That's what I suggest, the best option. How do I kosher the spout of the sink? That's the number one thing in the house that you have to kosher. You can't really replace it. It's very difficult to replace, and it needs to be koshered. You use it with hot water. Why do I need to kosher it? I only use it with hot water. The answer to that is because anybody who uses noodles, just as an example, they pour the noodles from the pot with hot water into a colander in the sink, and after they've done that, whoosh, you have a lot of steam coming up from these noodles that can get absorbed into the spout of the sink. Usually cold water comes out at that time, but if there was hot water, and it could be somebody made a mistake, or there was hot water there first before the cold water came out, or the steam came up before the cold water was poured, then there's a possibility that taste of chametz got into the spout of the sink. How do I kosher it? The answer to that is, the number one thing you have to do is boil up a kumkum of hot water and pour it over the spout of the sink. Now remember, I mentioned, the counters don't need this. It's only for the spout of the sink that this is required. The basin of the sink doesn't need it. Usually it can't be koshered, and we're putting in inserts. We're only talking about the spout of the sink. That spout has to have hot water poured over it, all over it, from a kumkum which had water that boiled and bubbled up. Then you've koshered it. If you want to be especially careful, turn on the boiler, the electric boiler in the house, and after it has become hot, pour hot water through the sink, through the spout, and while hot water is coming out, pour out hot water from the kumkum. Additionally, lichatchila, when somebody does this, they should leave the spout of the sink not in use from shkia until alois hashachar of the next day, overnight. That they should leave it without use, at least of chametz, for that amount of time. If they've done that, then the next day, right fresh and early in the morning, they do the process that I described with hot water inside and out, and you've taken care of everything. That's how we kosher that part of the house. Now, there are other devices in the house. What do I do if I need to have a coffee maker? Most poskim are hesitant to allow for koshering the coffee maker. The reason for that is because the coffee maker in most instances is made of glass. The minig of Bnei Ashkenaz is not to kosher glass for Pesach, to assume that it's chametzik and it can't be koshered. And the carafeh of a coffee maker is made of glass. The issue is that a coffee maker, although it's made of glass, it's not used for chametz. And since it's not used for chametz, why does it need to be koshered at all? Drinking glasses, the minhag is not to use them, even if we don't use them for chametz, because, who knows, use them for all different types of things. Maybe once I use them for chametz, therefore the minhag is not to use even drinking glasses for Pesach to buy new ones. The coffee maker, this is as far as to say, okay, you might have, but a coffee maker is only used for coffee. Since it's only used for coffee, there's as far as to say, it's okay. Somebody who knows that they only use regular coffee and not spiced and not flavored coffee, they just use simple coffee, ground coffee in their coffee maker, I'm going to leave it as you have to ask your Rav. Some of them will allow you to simply clean it and use it on Pesach, and some will tell you better to put it away. And that's something that everybody should be left to their own shiloh about. Okay. Other things in the house, knives. Knives, it's mentioned in Poiskim that although they can be koshered in the way we mentioned, you can even kosher them at home by boiling up hot water in the kumkum. Knives, it says that there's a hiddur to buy new. There's a hiddur to buy new ones for Pesach. So there is this special hiddur to buy new knives for Pesach even if you can kosher them, even though you can kosher them. Is this true regarding all kalim in the house? You will find certain achrayim that say, yes, it's true by all kalim, it's not true only by knives, but it's not necessarily mafurish, it's not necessarily true. Therefore, I'm telling you the following. If for whatever reason you have a specific reason to use some other kli, you're allowed to kosher it if it's kosherable. There are a lot of things that go into determining whether something is kosherable. What material it's made out of? Will it be destroyed when it's koshered? The form of koshering which is necessary, is hagala good enough? Do I have to do libun kal? Do I have to do libun chamor? These are things, each utensil, you have to ask the Rav if it's something that you need on Pesach, how to kosher it, and if it can be kosher. But I will mention that although it could be that halacha does not absolutely require buying new kelim, and it doesn't even necessarily say there's a hitter of buying new kelim. New kelim for Pesach is always a good idea because it lessens the amount of work, it lessens the amount of tircha on Pesach, of preparing for Pesach, of kashering for Pesach, of cleaning for Pesach. And it's something that I think everybody knows, that you have a set of kelim for Pesach. So why am I mentioning this? For most people that are in their homes, and they have all their permanent kelim, it's normal to have a set of Pesach kelim, and that's what you should do. But if you have special kelim, you have silverware, and they're special, and you want to use them special for Yontif, those are things you might want to kosher for Pesach anyway. And if you're not, you're transient, you happen to be stuck here for Pesach, for such a person, you don't necessarily want to invest in a lot of brand new kelim for Pesach. Of course, kosher whatever kelim can be kosher. That's the way we should be going about Pesach. And I want to underscore again what we started with. All the things we mentioned right now, I tried to give you a perspective that we're not koshering the house, but we're koshering the kitchen. And we shouldn't put so much focus on looking after crumbs throughout the entire house. But when we're dealing with utensils, we're dealing with surfaces for food, there we want to make sure everything is absolutely clean and kosher. If we put focus in the wrong places, if we put focus on trying to kosher our house, we're going to run out of energy and we're putting energy in the wrong places. If we make sure simply that there is no chametz that's not sold and not put away throughout the whole house, you will find that it's not such a big job. If you're not sitting there and scrubbing the stratego pieces and scrubbing the Lego and sitting on the floor and taking 10 hours to make sure that every piece of your children's toys are absolutely kosher for Pesach, you'll find that there's time for everything. You'll find that you're not going to be running out of koiches. When we're dealing with the kitchen, once we saved our energies and we're not koshering the house for Pesach, we're koshering the kitchen, we put special focus on making sure there's nothing in our kitchen, that there's even a slight crumb of chametz, there's no time of chametz. There are easy ways to do everything with that, just we mentioned before. And once we've done that, once we've taken care of all that, remember, this Pesach is a chiv of Simchas Yontif, just like any other Pesach. We have to make sure that we're going to keep everybody happy, and a husband has to be mesameach his wife, and he has to be mesameach his children, and we have to be wearing nice clothes, and we have to have tasty food to the best of our ability. We're going to do the best this year, like every other year, to show Hashem that even though he gave us this Nisayon this year, and we don't necessarily know why we were given this Nisayon this year more than any other year, we're going to show Hashem we take pride in making our house Pesach. We take pride in showing Hashem our house has no chametz in it. Our Pesach is clean from chametz. We're not even eating anything that's in a chashash. I'm not going to lower my standards of what I'm allowed to eat and what I'm not allowed to eat. And I'm going to take simcha this year like every other year. I'm going to put special effort, not necessarily in koshering the toys of the children. I'm taking special effort this year to make sure everybody's happy, because I know that everybody's in the house and it's hard for everybody. We're going to do our efforts and put all of our hashkot to make sure this is a wonderful Pesach this year, just like every other year. And Amit Hashem will remember this Pesach much more than every other Pesach, not because of how hard it was, but because of how special it was, because we were able to overcome all the challenges and all the things that are going to come our way. It's going to be doable. It's going to be possible. And Amir Hashem, everybody will have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. They'll come to Leil HaSeder, not completely sachut from all the Avodah, but Adarava, happy and proud that they made a Pesach Tikaos, Kiddos Kedin. And Amir Hashem, we'll all have Simchas Yontif, Simchas Pesach. Emet Hashem, Mashiach will come even before Pesach. We'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach. And Emet Hashem will all be over this Nisoyon, this Kufa, this Magefa that came on the entire world, and be able to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Baruch Hashem, you gave us this Nisoyon, and we were over, and we had Simchas HaChag just like you wanted us to have. A good Yontif.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Rav.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.